From 20 metres out. He's done it so many times. Of course he has. And the game is well and truly on.
Across Australia and online at aflnation.com.au. Welcome to AFL Nation.
For McDonald's, Macca's new McSpicy burger has serious kick.
And Liquorland, always great value.
We reached preliminary final night where so many of the game's moments of folklore are conceived. Games with a unique tension dictated by the consequence, and games that this weekend are so perfectly pitched across the next two nights. It starts at Adelaide Oval where Port Adelaide, the pace setters of the season, meet Richmond, the benchmark of the competition. Who will go on to the 2020 Grand Final? The Power and the Tigers. Gerard Whateley with you on AFL Nation for McDonald's. Just like a game of footy, Macca's new McSpicy burger has serious kick and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. Anthony Hudson's with me. Hello, Hutto.
Hello, Jared. How we'd love to be there, but that is not something we'll dwell on because the two matches that we've been presented with over this weekend, over the next 36, 48 hours, are just so great. And the prospects of a fantastic couple of preliminary finals, like you alluded to, there's nothing quite like preliminary final weekend because of what's on offer. The tension is there, and with four teams so evenly matched, I just can't wait to see which way these are going to pan out. So looking forward to tonight to see whether it's Port Adelaide returning to a grand final and what a season they've had, or whether the mighty Tigers will do it again, and then of course who they'll play tomorrow night.
Our experts have eight preliminary final experiences between them. Gary Lyon, good evening.
That must have been the other bloke's got a few more than me. Very nice to be here. It is different. Anthony moves his McDonald's bag, otherwise I won't be able to see our other fellow commentator. No, I love it. I love preliminary finals. It's so different. We would normally be immersed in, we'd hope that there'd be at least one in Melbourne that we could sort of throw ourselves into, but it's not to be, and that's the way it's been. But I think four teams that deserve to be there. And tonight, I don't know, we need to get to our man over on the spot because I did a little interview with our SEN SA boys over there, and they said it was hosing down in Adelaide. I need to find out what's going on.
Kane Corns is our man on the spot at Adelaide Oval. Good evening to you, Kane.
A bit of mayonnaise on that, I think, Gary. I would describe it as annoying drizzle. Now, I don't think it is going to settle in, but those words can come back to haunt me. I see Damien Hoff, who's the magnificent groundskeeper of the Adelaide Oval. He's nervous. He's out there right now just plugging a few holes, just getting some final preparations in. The ground looks terrific, as you can imagine. The hill's going to be open tonight as well. So it's interesting. There's sort of maybe 15 COVID sort of pods, which is segregated from the rest of each other. So the hill will be in action. That's behind the goals to the old scoreboard end. That's going to give a different feel to it, certainly visually, and they'll make some noise. But yeah, just walking in, there was barbecues happening as you'd expect. It's the genuine finals feel. There's real nerves from the Port Adelaide supporters, I would think. I think that's the overwhelming emotion right now, and that would be the case for the young squad as well. Richmond, there's probably 10 players out there. I'm interested, the bounce is still an hour and 45 minutes away, but I can see Revold and Cochin. They're all kitted up. They're ready to go. They've got their boots on. It's a long way away. I was someone who didn't like to get ready until sort of the last minute, but they're all ready to go. Cochin's doing some media at the moment. Port Adelaide yet to be seen, but gates are about to be open, Hutto.
I thought you would have been there 3 hours before the ground, just doing laps, actually, Kane.
That was my brother. Yeah. He was just a madman. He used to get here about 3 hours early and try and see how many brick walls he could bump through, which was stupid, and his shoulders are paying for it now. But, yeah, they're ready to go. I mean, they'll be relaxed. Fourth in a row. It's different, isn't it? The experience up against the youth. So we'll see who settles the fastest.
Yeah, Port Adelaide side that haven't played much footy in recent times too, which will be interesting to see how that plays itself out.
So we're going to delve into your preliminary final experiences, and we're going to delve into what lies in store. But there is a developing story in football tonight. It's a story that was well known behind the scenes, that Reece Shaw, the North Melbourne coach, had taken a period of extended leave for personal reasons and that he may not return to the job. His health has been the central concern both for his family and the club since North Melbourne's season ended, and it was given voice by the chairman of North Melbourne, Ben Buckley, who produced a statement to members this afternoon which read, "We have been acutely aware of speculation regarding our head coach, but we have not been in a position to say anything as we are respecting the wishes of Reece and his family. Reece has asked for some time and space away from football, and we have provided him support during this period. We thank the media for their ongoing cooperation and trust. They understand we can't make further comment at this time. In the meantime, we will forge ahead from a board perspective. Our decision-making centres around one ambition, how we can build a team and a football program that will win our fifth flag." Sam Edmund, our chief sports reporter, has been following the story for a couple of weeks now. Sam, good evening.
G'day, Jared. Hi, Kane. Gary, Hutto. Good to be with you.
What are you prepared to tell us tonight, Sam?
It's been an ongoing wrestle, this very question, Jared, but the club tonight, as you just alluded to, they're choosing to put it somewhat in the public domain. Now, the club, to explain, had always planned to put a letter out to members, and they felt they had to address what had really become a massive elephant in the room. The rumours had been ridiculous and damaging and massively untrue. So the Roos felt they had to act in some way, and for their part, couldn't live with communicating to their members and most loyal of supporters and not raising it in some way. So the Kangaroos had permission, Jared, from Reece and his family to use the exact words they did in that statement. There is an element of relief on their part, I believe, that it's out in the open somewhat now. How much we can say we're bound by, really, but it's a highly personal issue. The club has deliberately not put the detail in there, of course. They are bound by what they can say for privacy reasons. But if we keep it to football matters, Jared, what we can say is that it's almost certain that Reece Shaw won't coach next year. This makes it incredibly tough for him to coach next year. The Roos won't have a coach, my understanding, for draft or trade period. Now, Reece, as you say, has not, quote-unquote, clocked on for duty since the Kangaroos left the hub. In fact, he's taken all that time away from the club. The club, my understanding is, have already set the wheels in motion to find its next coach. Paul Roos, who I believe will accept the offer to join the club on a part-time basis, will now help find that next coach. He'll be on the selection panel to find North's next coach. He goes in eyes wide open too, Jared. He was aware of the situation from the start of North's approach to him. Ditto John Blakey, who has no interest in senior coaching but was fully aware of the issue that Shaw was facing. And she's very sad, really. The machine rolls on, though, and the game doesn't wait. I mean, my understanding is this is hurting them somewhat on the recruiting and trade front, given that Reece Shaw isn't present. He might still stay on in a lesser role. That's very much a glass half full look at it at the moment. Whether that's viable or not remains to be seen. Whether he has a job somewhere in the football program, the VFL program, remains to be seen. But that's a positive outlook on it at the moment, guys.
So there's the overwhelming reaction of sympathy towards Reece, which people have felt now for a couple of weeks and have tried to pass on as best they can. And then, Sam, as you say, there's the relentless nature of things can't stand still on a football front and for a club. So you're of the view that the wheels are in motion to find the next coach of North Melbourne.
Yeah, my understanding, Jared, is the club are putting contingency plans in place now for that very event to ensue. My belief is that he won't coach next year. This makes it virtually impossible, and it is hurting them at the moment. The ruthless nature of the game, you know, they're trying to bring players in. They've delisted 11 players. They've wiped out an entire assistant coaching panel. So they're trying to bring players in to improve their squad. It's mightily difficult when these players can't get in front of the senior coach for far more important reasons, we know, of course. But from pure football point of view, it really hurts North Melbourne. And I think they'll have a new coach next year, and that's for vastly different reasons. It's not too dissimilar to this time last year when they were so short-staffed. You know, Reece Shaw was doing everything this time last year. He was basically the list manager, the recruiter, the senior coach, the high-performance man. He was everywhere. And he's had a very tough year for obvious reasons up there in the hub. And, look, the less said about him, the better. What we can tell you from a football point of view is they've got a mountainous task ahead of them.
Gaz, how do you feel about it all?
Well, the first thing is that from the whole media landscape, this has been unlike anything I've known. The collegiate aspect of this, whereas, and this is not patting anyone on the back in the media world I'm talking about, this is just the facts, is that I would say most everyone's known what's going on, but out of respect. And for me, that's a good thing, because this is a health situation whereby you do need a little respect, and they do, you know, they need to do it in their time. At the same time, I'm glad that there's been a statement made, because we're privy to the day-to-day machinations of the AFL world, that we talk on air, but also via text message to the football family. And the longer this went, the more potential it had to get out of control. So the bottom line is now, and as I'm talking to someone that's had my own health issues, footy is just way, way, way down the list of priorities. And that's what we now wrap our arms around him as a footy world and say, mate, all we want is for you to get better. And this is where the harsh reality of footy becomes, where it can sound really brutal. But North Melbourne have no option other than to say, here, we are there for you every single minute of the day. Whatever support we can give you, we will. But we've got to move on. And we're about to enter the most important part of that whole year. Maybe the most important part for the next 2 or 3 years for North Melbourne right now, given the circumstances they're in, given the way they've cut, how aggressively they're cut, and to do it without someone driving it, you know, from a head senior coach point of view is so, so challenging. So I think it's... it's a huge situation for North Melbourne to contend with.
Kane, what are your overwhelming thoughts?
Well, I echo those comments from Gaz. The really challenging part is, what coach do you get? Is it a caretaker for a year? Because if it's an ambitious coach, and I've seen Michael Voss's name linked already, I want a four-year contract to go and coach that club. But can you give a four-year contract to a coach out of respect to Reece Shaw, who is the coach at the moment but may never coach again? So how they get someone to step up, probably in a caretaker role, I would think, because I can't imagine a young coach or an ambitious coach would want to come in on the back of 11 players delisted, Brown and Higgins going, 6 assistant coaches gone. You're starting as far back as we've ever seen a footy club start. And that's not a 2-year process as a senior coach. That is a 4, 5, 6-year process to get this club back into any sort of competitiveness. And it's not something that I would be aspiring to take over at a club like North Melbourne if I wanted a long-term coaching position.
Or is it a chance, on the other hand, and again, you've got to make the call first on race, but is it a chance to say, you're going to get time here. You're going to get all the time in the world to build this club in the manner that you want. Now, for a young, inexperienced coach, that is a huge ask. But for someone else, that opportunity... And look, financially, in that press release that we've read, you know, they make a pretty sound case for where they're at. There's an opportunity. They're going to get 2 years minimum free hit at this. And then the opportunity to say, we're going to the draft, and there's going to be some pain, but so be it, we'll do it properly. Take some pressure off you. You'll get a lot of leeway.
Probably for somebody in Michael Voss's case, it wouldn't be the worst. He wouldn't be. I agree, if you're a rookie young coach,
the
going
tenure
in.
Tenure is important, as Kano said.
Yeah, and it would have to be a multiple year tenure. I mean, you couldn't go in unless it was Paul Roos going in there, hands on tools, and another one of those handover situations, which I'd be surprised if that was the case. I think it's more likely to be someone in a Vossy situation, has been there, been a coach before, has gone back, built his experience, and is offered a multi-year deal. And as you said, there's no expectations in those first couple of years for on-field success.
The sensitivities around it is Reece Shaw. I mean, he's still the contracted coach. So as you're alluding to, Jared, I think that decision is going to have to be made relatively soon.
Yeah, that's going to be
before they select a coach. Yeah. That has to be their first port. Is Rhys Shaw ever going to coach this club again, as brutal as it is, and we understand that? Or is there a role for him in some capacity when he comes back? That's what I've read today, that whenever he's ready to come back, there's a role there, probably not as a senior coach. So that's the first decision they need to make, is on his future.
I think in these contracts there's a period of 3 months sick leave that's involved, but these are not regular jobs. And I think that will probably be in the broad... There'll be a broader conversation at some point around coaching. I think that's inevitable. Now's probably not the right time for that, although that will start soon enough.
And it's been an extraordinary year, obviously, hasn't it, for someone in Reese's position to have to go through.
Yep.
Extraordinary.
I worry about North. I don't know, Gaz, whether they have... I understand that, like, that statement clearly is a self-justification statement. This is why we are viable. This is why we have long-term. I don't know whether they're a club that can spend as long down the bottom as it's going to take.
Yeah, that is real. I'm talking on the assumption that they are here and they stay. The alternative is, well, what is the alternative? And that is for another discussion. Now, I don't know, for whatever reason, well, James Brayshaw's, my friendship with James is, I lived through a lot of North Melbourne for the best part of, his tenure as the chairman. And, they were in trouble. He worked really hard with that group to eradicate the debt and got them back into a fairly viable position, opted not to go up north, agree or disagree, stayed, built, developed a really viable, formidable inner city sanctum for that footy club, and so facility-wise got himself a position, and he was pretty satisfied at the end of his handover. Now, what's gone on since then, I don't know. Financially, if I read that, it sounds like they're okay, but maybe they're trying too hard. The on-field, it's a shocking time to be doing it on-field, and all of the normal discussions will start again, and that is whether they have a place here in Melbourne. And the North Melbourne, we've got great North Melbourne listeners on this station, one in particular will draw him down here and start grabbing us in a moment. So what is the alternative? Well, if it's not survive and push on, what is the alternative? Tasmania loom.
It does. That conversation will start in a year's time, maybe sooner, in 2 years' time.
Will Tasmania want a club in that situation?
So Tasmania will be really interesting. They built their case around a 19th licence. There's no possibility of a 19th licence given what's happened in the interim. The Premier had changed his language towards getting the 18th licence, and I'm sure over time that conversation will intensify. Whether that's North or not, I don't know. But I think I just think there'll be a shorter tolerance for North Melbourne spending years and years down the bottom than there was for Carlton, for instance.
Well, and Kano, from a playing point of view, can you see any alternative? There's no quick fix, I don't think. I can't see this football club.
No, I can't. I mean, things can turn quickly, can't they? And we do get caught up in prisoners of the moment. But for this example, decisions in the last 10 years where they've thought they're in a better position what they have been, and they've made their list management choices around that, has proven to be incorrect. There's been horrific mismanagement of the list. I think that is clear to say, and they thought they were so much closer than what they actually were. So their choice to stay about the middle of the road for a 10 to 12 year period is coming back to hurt them now. There's a couple of young talented players on their list, we know that, but nothing that would excite me. And the challenge to recruit players, prospective players to that club, is also going to be difficult. I mean, as a player, why would you go there now? The uncertainty around that. Jared, you're talking about the future of the club. As a young player coming through, why would you choose North Melbourne? So there's a whole host of challenges that are going to confront them, and least of which is their list build as well.
So tonight's developing story, North Melbourne senior coach Rhys Shaw has taken extended leave from the coaching position for personal reasons, with no guarantee that he will return to the job. And Sam Edmund reporting that North Melbourne has set the wheels in motion to find their next senior coach, and Paul Roos will play a major role in selecting that coach.
Just wanted to echo the thoughts of Gary and Kane and you, Jared, and Sam as well, just in wishing Rhys and the family all the best.
Mm. So Sam will rejoin us shortly for a talk around trades. Much more trivial. Hey, tell me about preliminary finals, Gaz.
I might have to defer. I don't defer often, but in this case...
Thanks, Gary. Oh, sorry.
Well, I've started in 86 and we played in one in 87. I happened to be watching, which is possibly one of the most dramatic in recent times, of course. That was the Jimmy Steins, the run across the mark with the Gary Buchanan. It was a 15-minute penalty in that situation.
And one of the great photos, isn't it, in the rooms too?
John Northey staring him down and saying, don't you ever effing do that again. And Jimmy will tell you, this is true, I've spoken to Jim and had many conversations. So the siren went, he's running down, right, and then he sees a Hawthorn player off to the side and thinks, I've got to go and pick him up. Not fully cognizant of the fact that once the siren goes, he can't pass. So he, with great haste and earnestness, he bolted through the man on the mark. And so that was my first experience, and that had drama everywhere. The chaos after that game had, of all people, Darren Hinch, and Stuart Spencer was the chairman of the football club, with Darren Hinch in tow, seeking out the umpires post-game down in the bowels of VFL Park, trying to get some explanation as to what exactly went on. It was just off its chops. Then we played in one in 88. One, we beat the Blues, which was, I would think, one of the biggest upsets in footy in recent times. We had to win the last game of the year to make the five at that stage, and we did, and we got through West Coast with the last kick of the game, virtually, Murray Rinstead, then we beat Collingwood at the MCG, and then we went to Waverley Park, and everyone says, Carlton had beaten Hawthorn in 87, it was going to be Carlton Hawthorn again, and the Melbourne punks, and we beat them, which didn't go to plan at all. And that's all I remember that year, perfectly frank. And then 94 was probably our best crack at it, and we made a bit of it. Well, we've been unlucky. We had to go over to the West Coast and play the Eagles. And they went on to win in 94 and then 98, my second last year, the Kangas got us. So only the one win, but I suspect Kano's had greater joy than
that. Kane went 2-3. What did you learn about the nature of the game?
The overriding emotion is you're so close, but you're so far from what you want, and that is a premiership. My first experience in prelim finals was when I was 10, believe it or not. It's one of my most vivid footy memories is that Chad and I flew over to the MCG by ourselves. Dad was coaching the Crows, 1993. There was 76,000 at the MCG, and the Crows are 7 goals up at halftime, and we're sitting in the crowd. I remember Chad getting an argument with the Essendon supporters saying, we're home, he's this 13-year-old cocky kid with his Adelaide scarf on, and then whack, you lose. And we're in the change rooms after the game, and the Crows players are in tears. As a 10-year-old, I'm in tears. That's what it is. That is the emotion. That's my first most vivid memory and experience with prelim finals. And as a player, I was lucky. I played in 3 prelim finals in my first 4 years. So I was drafted to a powerhouse footy club from a home and away perspective, but didn't get it done in finals. And I guess the 2004 prelim against St Kilda, the storylines from it, Garrett kicked his 100th in the first quarter. Port Adelaide hardly touched the ball in the first 15 minutes until Garrett kicked his 100th, and the Saints fans that were there stormed the field. Play was halted.
Including Stevie Baker's old man.
Is that right?
He was one of them out there.
But it just gave us a chance to regroup. You know, you had experienced heads that had been there. Damien Hardwick can pull the group in together and say, come on, just get your hands on the footy. Like, this is nothing complicated about this. It's a prelim final. And then we settled. Roger James was enormous. Wanganeen. So just, I remember individual feats. So Michael Wilson played the whole season with 2 dislocated shoulders, and he runs back with a flight of the ball and takes 2 courageous marks. Wanganeen's brilliance in the last quarter after not touching it for a half of footy, and then you're just lucky. You know, the ball's bouncing, Brent Guerra can kick a goal in the goal square, and Sean Burgon comes from nowhere and goes out of bounds.
And the shot on the siren, Kane, of Robert Harvey. I think you're in the shot, aren't you? And Robert Harvey, just that look of so close and yet so far, and I feel like when you lose a preliminary, you never feel further away from making a grand final because you've got to go through so much just to get back to where you were.
Yeah, and I was on the other end of that in 2014, which just is such a big regret because it would just be nice to bookend your career with a grand final late and you lose by under a kick with a shot from Andrew Moore late in the game, and some umpiring decisions can go one way or the other, and you just feel that despair. And I guess the next week is so hard when you get so close to, you know, it is genuine, you know, football sadness when you're watching the grand final, knowing that you were so close, but as I said in the opening, so far away from what you set out to do.
So we've worked it out, the mystery, the secrets of preliminary finals are Darren Hinch accosting umpires in the bowels of Waverley, a 13-year-old Chad Corns giving lip to Essendon fans in the terraces of the MCG. I feel like we've got enough already to work with tonight. Experience the convenience of contactless online shopping and delivery at Hyundai through selected dealers. You can buy your dream car online today with Hyundai's Click to Buy. And right now, get an extra cash back rebate when you buy online. Visit hyundai.com.au/click to buy to find out more. We're in good hands tonight because Michael Voss is going to join us next. Oh, he knows a thing or two about it all. He's in the Port Adelaide camp tonight, and Craig McRae from the Tigers will be our guest before we're done as well. So we'll preview this preliminary final from Adelaide Oval, which is not as wet as you're being told, Kane says. It's Port and Richmond coming up on AFL Nation for McDonald's. Just like a game of footy, Macca's new McCrispy burger has serious kick. And Liquorland, click and collect in just 30 minutes.
AFL Nation. For McDonald's, Macca's new McSpicy burger has serious kick. And Liquorland, always great value.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. Back Monday from 6.
For many of us, our car is our pride and joy. Or the family taxi. And for some weeks now, it's been sitting idle in the driveway. Waiting. Waiting for the moment we can get back out on the road. Before we do that, book in with Tyre Power for your free 5-minute tyre safety check. Plan ahead, beat the crowds. It's so important to check your tyres are 100% roadworthy and safe. Find your local independent Tyre Power dealer at tyrepower.com.au.
This year's been hard on us, on our families and our businesses. But this is Australia. We will come back. The Australian government has a plan for our economy. We're lowering taxes to put more money in the pockets of everyday Australians and offering other incentives to businesses to help with hiring and investment. The Economic Recovery Plan. This is our comeback. Find out how it benefits you and Australia at ourcomeback.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Make this AFL Finals one to remember with PointsBet. If your team leads at halftime, you win. That's right. Lead at halftime and PointsBet will pay out your head-to-head bet straight away as a winner. It's PointsBet's AFL Finals early payout and it's available on every game throughout the finals, including the grand final. Check out PointsBet's great odds and offers. Download the PointsBet app today. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
This could be your best summer yet because nothing screams fun like a Sea-Doo. Peter Stevens Sea-Doo sale is on now. Right away on a 2020 Sea-Doo, and Peter Stevens will cover the first 3 months' repayments. That's no repayments until 2021. Why would you wait? Best time to ever buy a Sea-Doo is now. Peter Stevens, Victoria's home of Sea-Doo. Dandenong, Ringwood and Geelong. PeterStevens.com.au.
Terms and conditions apply. See in store for details.
Think of your most treasured memory. Is it a time when you were a child? When you had your first child? Or the first dance on your wedding day. I know. Life is full of precious memories. But often, once we're gone, they end up in a shoebox hidden away. Introducing Memories, an online platform where memories keep living. Because your life deserves more than a shoebox. Visit memories.com.au or download the app today.
If you're thinking of selling your home, launch your property with O'Brien Real Estate and you'll get the chance to win a brand new Volkswagen Polo, home entertainment or furniture package.
T&Cs apply. Competition runs until 18 December 2020.
O'BrienRealEstate.com.au. The difference is our people and local knowledge.
Upgrade to Breeze Air Supercool ducted home cooling sale is now on at Coldflow. Get in before summer and get a free upgrade to world's best Breeze Air Supercool. Install now, beat the summer rush and fill your home with fresh, clean, cool air and save with Coldflow. Book online or call now. Offer won't last. 1-300-880-688. That's 1-300-880-688.
At JH Market, the new home of Gin Hang, it's October frenzy and there's a deal every day. Helping over 8,000 Sparkies make more margin and get back on their feet. Prices have never been lower. Go to jh.market or call 1300 000 808.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
I read the comments that Hamish Hartlett has said, and I'm just sprinkling a little bit of extra pepper on this this match. So I actually sent those messages to Tommy Lynch last night and said, just remember, memorise these words if you're sitting under a high ball. So it could get willing. I hope it does.
Dwayne's World, weekdays on SEN.
Join me on Monday. It's your show. I love talking to you. Give me a call, 1300 736 736. I'll catch you then.
AFL Nation.
For McDonald's, Macca's new McSpicy burger has serious kick.
And Liquorland. Always great value.
Friday night footy on AFL Nation. For Beaumont Tiles, Australia's biggest.
Port Adelaide and Richmond, they probably played the best game of the home and away season. It's the one that most vividly comes to mind. There were 10,000 fans at Adelaide Oval that night. There's twice as many and a few more in tonight for it on AFL Nation for McDonald's, just like a game of footy. Macca's new spicy burger has serious kick and Liquorland click and collect in just 30 minutes.
I don't know if it was the game of the year, Jared. It was certainly one of the potential candidates for that, but it was the atmosphere of the year, wasn't it? Even watching it back this week, you couldn't believe there was only 10,000 there. It was
amazing. As many extra Port Adelaide supporters at this game as there is Richmond players that are going to be there. seven extra coming in. And mind you, there's five, I think, for Port Adelaide as well. So a little bit unrecognisable, the two teams. But it was a great game. Some of the numbers there that you just could not possibly expect to see tonight. But you never know. But it was the thing I took out of that, and we'll get into it much deeper later on, is that's as harder first quarter as I've seen this year Port Adelaide played in terms of toughness, pressure around the footy, what they dealt up. Did you call that one?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. But what they dealt up, Kano, to Richmond in that first quarter. Now, credit to the Tigers, they absorbed it and were able to hold their nerve and, despite everything against them, lead by a point at three-quarter time.
Number one tackling team in the competition, Port Adelaide, they really have built, I think, fundamentals of their game on the Richmond model. Now there's slight differences, and as you said, we'll get into that a little bit, but they are a tough and they are a hard team, and their whole goal is to make life as difficult as you possibly can when the opposition's got the ball. But they're aggressive, so with that they give you opportunities, and I don't want to get too much into how the game's going to be won and lost just yet because we're still a while away, but they're really aggressive, as are Richmond. I think genuinely the two toughest teams in it tonight in terms of how hard they attack the footy. That's what makes me so excited about it. I heard a little bit of you and Tim this morning, Gaz, just speaking about, you know, we had similar discussions about Geelong and Collingwood last week.
Yeah.
We couldn't pick it.
Yeah.
And as you said, Collingwood kicked one goal to halfway point in the last quarter. I'm confident we're not going to get that. I can't see either team blowing each other away early, and I think it's going to be right in the mix come three-quarter time. We are going to be undecided who's going to win this game of footy, and I think the toughest team and the one that hangs in there for the longest and absorbs the momentum swings will come out on top. But I just can't see a way where it's a blowout like Geelong
Richmond
last week.
Richmond, good wet weather side. We all concede that.
Yeah.
I think Kano's playing this down. Look at this radar. Can you see this on your
screen?
I've
seen the radar. It's like algebra to me. I can't read. Telling you with my eyes what I'm seeing. That's all I'm seeing.
Stand by, it's coming, according to this.
Well, stand by, because the players are out there, they're handling the ball, no worries. There's a few brollies from the Channel 7 crew who have been soft.
Bit soft, your man, and
Hodgie, but the players will be fine.
Let's ask Port Adelaide's assistant coach, Michael Voss, who knows a thing or two about preliminary finals. Vossie, welcome to AFL Nation.
No worries, thanks, Jared.
Have you had the radar out?
No, it's pointless looking at it. It's just another element, another condition to take in. The boys will adapt accordingly. It's a little bit slippery on the foot, but the handling should be okay unless it starts to pour down.
No problem, Vossie. Kane reckons it's going to be 25. You'll need the sun cream.
Yeah, well, I've learnt Adelaide 25 versus Brisbane 25, slightly different, so we'll go with that for now.
Four prelims, Michael, you won the lot. What did you learn about the nature of these special and unique games through your time playing?
Yeah, they are really special games, and, you know, more often than not, they're the best of the best, and that's why they're such high-level games. And, you know, obviously the crowd becomes a factor because it's normally got a large membership base at your home ground. And so the atmosphere is normally generally electric. But, you know, I guess from a player's point of view, it's about trying to stay as present as you possibly can. And, you know, the outcomes get bigger, but that's where you've got to just stay completely in the moment and with your teammates and play every moment that presents itself. And, you know, we've been exposed to a lot of those scenarios this year, but none bigger than this one, clearly.
Vossi spoke to a couple of assistant coaches on radio this week. They tell me you've got the boys pumped up. You may have put together a little package, maybe a little video display that you've shown the players. Can you give us any insight into how you built that?
Oh, not really. I mean, we're always trying to look at different connection pieces, and some of them are around player to player as mates and how they play together. And sometimes it's around the club and, you know, around Port Adelaide and our history and tradition and the impact that they're having by the way that we're playing. And certainly the feedback outside in is that, you know, we're playing some really good, tough Port Adelaide football and we're sticking together in tough moments and we're doing it all together. And that's been really pleasing and coming out really strongly in the video.
Liked a little bit of byplay, Voss, here. I was right in your wheelhouse, the Hamish Hartlett stuff on radio yesterday. Did you enjoy it? Just putting a little bit of pressure and just asking a question to Tom Lynch?
Oh, no, not really. But I'd rather it just come out and do it. But... No, I never mind anything like that. I mean, the reality is that if that's the difference that gets you ready for these games, then you're probably not ready to go. You know, these games speak for themselves, and they probably don't need much more than that. And when we expect the contest on, we expect our players to stand up, and we're sure we will.
What did you take out of that round 11? Is it something that you look at and reference but not draw too much on? There were some amazing numbers out of that game that I don't think you'd expect to replicate tonight.
Yeah, and there's that's probably as extreme as you possibly can get. So you certainly have to be mindful. It was a nice little template to work with, but you don't get it too many times against quality opposition. You know, we know the Tigers will go to work on that. We certainly don't expect the same dominance that we got around the ball and with the ball in our half. So we're sure they'll make some adjustments accordingly. But you know, again, finals is about absorbing the moments when the opposition have it. They have it for 5 or 10 minutes, and we have to make sure that we minimise as much as we can. And when we get our little run, we have to maximise as much as we can, and that can be the difference in the end.
I've had a bit of fun with the weather, Vossi, but did it prompt you to think about a late change? Boyd Woodcock, small forward as an emergency, as is Justin Westhoff. You've got Laddams and Lysette going in. Have you at least had a thought about a late change?
No, we're back in your observations there, Wiggy. we're back in that it'll be okay, and we'll manage it. No, look, I think the real strength of our talls is they compete on the ground. And if at the very least, if they can control the ball drop and bring our smalls into play, then that'll be a win for us.
And just with the centre bounce battle, it's fascinating for me. I mean, it gives you at least the option, if things aren't working with Lysett, to chuck in Laddams for a different look, whereas Nan Curvis, they've only got the one. I believe that could help you halt momentum or just change momentum throughout the game.
Yeah, hopefully. And certainly Nan Curvis has had been shouldering a lot of that ruck work. You know, Scotty's obviously been our primary ruckman, and Pete's been able to come in and have a real impact. And I guess Pete's real strength is he can compete in the air, but his real strength is when the ball's on the floor and becomes almost like another midfielder on the ground. So we'll try and lean on both. And Scotty's had a really good year, and certainly Pete Laddams is evolving his game really strongly.
And Vossi, good luck tonight. Kenny, have you noticed anything different with so much on the line this week?
No, Kenny's just Kenny, and you know, I think he's, you know, really conscious of trying to create some composure around the boys today. And I'd be surprised if when we don't sit down, he has a bit of a joke with them to start off with, just to break the tension and get them a little bit settled and give them some composure and some clarity, and then let them go.
Have you got any concern, Vossi, about the, you know, the week off, the play, the week off? Has it entered into your thinking at all?
Oh, in the back of your mind, you have to. You know, we probably have to ignore it a little bit in that we have to utilise it for what it is, and we were able to regenerate last week. And when you don't have an opponent, it's almost impossible to try and ask your players to go out and train as they normally would when they just don't have that same edge about them without an opponent. But, you know, there's been no concerns this week. The players have built the intensity nicely. If anything, some of the restrictions that we've had early in the week with the groups has just forced us to build this up a little bit slower. So hopefully we're building the energy at the right time.
Good luck, Michael. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Michael Voss from inside the Port Adelaide camp as we look towards this preliminary final.
That is an interesting point that he made. When you don't have an opponent, that you can't quite have that same focus and intensity in your training.
So they're 1 in 25 days and Brisbane's 1 in 27 days. I know people want to declare victory on the bye. Let's just wait and see how it affects these two teams. The grand final edition of the AFL Record hits newsagents Coles and Woolies outlets in Victoria on Monday and the rest of Australia from Thursday. $10 for 148 pages in the souvenir edition. There will be feature stories on Tony Jewell, Brent Croswell, the games that mattered most and the best images of 2020 and plenty more. We're going to talk trades with Sam Edmund next and then we will be inside the Tigers camp in the build-up to this prelim.